scripture lesson this morning is in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. Reverend Hilton read some of it earlier, not knowing that I was going to be preaching from this. Beginning at verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness has seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice in the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across the shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. And amen. A light in darkness. A light in darkness. Israel had been captured by Assyria. The kingdom had been divided into two great nations, the northern and the southern. And this particular writing is to southern Israel, and they have been in captivity by the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were mean oppressors. And during this extended captivity, the children of Israel forgot about their God. And they started to worship the gods of Assyria. How many of you know that sometimes when you're down and out, you begin to do things that you're not proud of? And so the Israelites, the people that God had delivered from Egypt, the people that God had brought across the Red Sea, and the people that God had provided for in the wilderness, now they have seemingly forgotten their God. How many of you know sometimes prosperity will make you do that? As soon as you get a decent job and making a decent salary, you get over, you think you're on easy street, you forgot the God that brought you over. And this is where the Israelites were. They began to sin, and the sin got them in deeper and deeper trouble and deeper darkness, and they were walking in darkness. And they had been waiting for a Messiah for a long time. Sometimes anybody can relate to this. You can wait for something so long that you forget you're waiting. And you decide that you're going to take matters into your own hands. I've been waiting long enough, God. And now, since, you know, I've been waiting for a whole year and I ain't got it yet, I'm going to just help you out, Jesus. Well, it was a situation that they had been waiting for a Messiah. And the Bible says that the people were walking and sitting. One translation says they were sitting in darkness. Others said they were walking in darkness. And finally, they saw great light. And Isaiah began to prophesy that the Messiah would come, that light would come. And Christmas really is about light. You know, over these last few weeks, especially the last week, some of our elder Christians talked to me and pulled me aside and said to me, you know, where's the cross? Christmas tree is all right, but where's the cross? I said, well, the cross is on the communion table. No, where's the big cross? And wrestling with this and praying about this, you know, and what it told me is it was good, because how many of you know that the cross don't belong to the preacher? The cross doesn't belong to the hired help. The cross belongs to the church. The cross really doesn't even belong to the church. It belongs to the world. Because he died for us that we might have life. And so, I started thinking about this thing, you know, and I said, well, you know, she was right. She's right. She's right. She's right. And then I began to think about, well, you know, whatever you do, she said to me, she says, you know, I don't see the communion table because I'm sitting low, and I look up and I see the cross, and I wanted to say, don't bypass the communion table. Whatever you do, I'm glad that you see the cross, but please don't overlook the communion table. Because the communion table, and I thought about this thing, the communion table represents both Easter and Christmas. Because, you know, very often we start saying, well, you know, the candles represent two thieves. No, the candles represents light. And the cross represents the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So every time you look at the communion table, you see both Christmas and Easter. How many of you know that if there hadn't been a Christmas, there wouldn't be an Easter? The gift of Christmas is light. Look at somebody and say, I don't care what else you get for Christmas, but get the light. Because Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. And many of us, I was thinking about a few weeks ago in Sandy. We didn't have any electricity for a whole week. Stumbling around the house. Even in my own house, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm the worst one, really. Putting stuff where it don't belong. I mean, I know my way to the bathroom, I know my way around, but sometimes when I put stuff down and I stump my big toe, I ain't gonna tell you what I say. Darkness. We
were only in darkness for a week, and it was driving us crazy. I'd come to church, the first question on your mind, do you have lights yet? No, not yet. Well, how long you been in dark? Oh, well, we haven't had any lights for 5 days now. And then somebody else would get lights on day five, and you know we get jealous. You got lights? My neighbor Deacon and Mrs. Dow, they got lights before us. I said, I'm the pastor. And I felt like, oh my goodness, they got lights. Surely, tomorrow, we'll have lights. No lights tomorrow. That was day, I don't know what day they got lights, but it was like day three or whatever it is. We were without lights for 7 days. Can you imagine a world without Christ? Not for 7 days, for eternity. No Savior, no Lord, no one to show us the way, no one to bring us out of darkness, no one to forgive our sins, no one to make a way out of no way, no one to save our souls. World without end. Thanks be to God. The Savior has come. The light has come. It's a terrible thing to sit in darkness. I don't know about you, but I've been spoiled by the city, Deacon Collins. I like light. I don't like, you know. I don't know if I can live in the country no more. Especially if the stars don't shine. I mean, I could do all right if I went back to South Carolina and I could see the stars. But if I have to go down there and it's as dark as a midnight down in some swamp, you know that poem that they talk about? I don't know if I can have, I need some light. How many of you know everything seems to be worse in the darkness? You got a little toothache, it's worse at night. You got a back pain, it's worse at night. I was talking to somebody today. They said, how you doing? Well, I'm doing all right today, but I had a bad night. I just couldn't get it together. Night, I don't know. Night is a dangerous time. Crooks come out at night. Demons come out at night. Demons are the order of the night. Sometimes when it's dark, you ever had one of them sleepless nights? And you wake up every hour. It's only 2 o'clock. Then you wake up. But you don't wake up. You just toss and turn. Because you really didn't go to sleep. You find out it's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Still night. And then at 6 o'clock, you still tired. You just get up. It seems like as soon as it gets 6:15, now you're ready to go to sleep. Now you got to go to work. You got to get up. I see Deacon Burns sitting over there. He's shaking his head because he's had some of that. He retired now. He said, listen, it ain't bothering me now. I can get up when I want to. I went to work for 40 years. I'm on Easy Street now, Reb. You got to, you know, let's. A light in darkness. Here's the good news of Christmas. No matter how dark it is in your life, you got depression, you got sickness, you got unemployment, you got loneliness, you got a bad relationship. The good news of Christmas is the light has come. The good news of Christmas is you waited long enough. The good news of Christmas is that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Oh. You're preaching, Jackson. Go on, boy. You hadn't done that in a while. You just said something, Jackson. Say it one more time. The darkness cannot overcome the light. It can be dark, but Jesus is the light of the world. Darkness cannot overcome him. He's the light of the world. You got to believe that. Now, I don't know how long night will be. I wish I could tell you that night is only going to be
12 hours. But I am certain of this. Light will come. You know, when we were in that 7 hours darkness, or that 7 day darkness, the first time, this time we were all right. We had a generator, but the first time, the lights went out. We had flashlights, but the batteries were dead. And you know how I am. I start blaming Barbara. What you mean? The batteries are dead. Keep your wicks trimmed and burning. That's what the old folk used to say. Because, you know, darkness is coming. Do I have a witness? It might be night right now, but don't wait till it gets dark to get your wicks together. You don't wait. Now we don't have wicks. We got batteries. There's another storm coming. I don't know if it's going to be Sandy or Greg, but another one is coming. You got to get your batteries charged. So that when night comes, you are ready to shine. Look at somebody and say, shine, baby. Let your light shine before men so that they, and women, so that you can give thanks and glory to God and say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go. In this text, Christmas is about, it says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a wonderful counselor. A counselor. We have any counselors? Where are you, Dr. Rogers? A counselor? Yeah. A counselor. It's supposed to be a guide. Do I have a witness? When you're in darkness, when you're going through, when you're having some difficulty and you can't see your way, when you're in a mess and you go to a counselor is supposed to be a guide to help you and I to get out of our circumstances. And in the darkness of our lives, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a wonderful counselor. I don't know, I've said this before, I don't know how much therapists charge an hour now. Last time I went, it was $125. But Jesus paid it all. The one, and the text says, that makes him not only, maybe that's why he got the wonderful counsel. You can go to him, you don't have to pay $150, probably $150. How much is an hour? Don't tell me. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. Not only is he a wonderful God, but he is a mighty God. He's a mighty warrior. He protects us and he provides for us. He's a mighty God. And not only is he a mighty God, he's an everlasting Father. He cares about his children. And not only is he an everlasting Father, he's the Prince of Peace. You know, we think that just because we live in America and we are blessed, we have cars and diamonds and jewelry and homes, but how many of you know it's still a dark world? Look up there in Newton, not very far from here. Newton, Connecticut. Dark. And I'm sorry if I'm going to offend you right now, but really not sorry. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. To hear this wacko from the NRA. After 20 little children have been killed by some machine gun. And for some of his deputies to get up and say, well, what we really should have had, every teacher ought to have a gun.
police officers all over the place. What we really need is just be in a position so we can kill more people and have more guns.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that's just too little love.
We don't need any more guns. We need to know Christ. We need to know the light of the world. We need to know forgiveness. We need to know kindness. We need to know compassion. We need to put the NRA out of business. We ought to have a gun buyback program and buy up all the guns from the street and have a big old fire out in the front yard of the churches all around America. Guns! Guns are a part of the darkness.
Now for you hunters out there, I'm not talking to you, but you don't need no machine gun to go hunt. You don't need no Uzi to shoot a squirrel.
Look what I got. I killed a squirrel. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Who gonna eat all them buckshots?
The light. And what is so sickening? We've got Congress people, senators,
who won't step up and say enough with the guns already. Even after one of the own congresspersons got shot and almost killed, they still won't say enough already.
The message of Christmas is this. Jesus is the light of the world. The only thing that I know that can defeat evil is Christ. Christ. That's it. So our seniors who talked to me about taking the cross down, I say to you, today, thank you. I heard you. I'm listening. I was listening. I am listening. And really what the concern was is that we are on this slippery slope of commercializing Christmas even in the church. That's really what they were saying. You know, like, you know, they didn't go into detail, but I want them to know that I got it. You know, that you pastor, you know, you're on this, you take the cross down at Christmas. This ain't Macy's. I mean, that's really, they didn't say that, but I got that too. And then, pastor, Christmas ain't yours. It belongs to the church. And pastor, I just want you to know I got you. Pastor, Christmas is about adoring a Savior. Christmas is about light. And pastor, if the world needs anything today, the world needs light. And pastor, please, don't be a part of the darkness by removing the symbols of our faith. The symbols of our faith. And so I got you, but I want you to get me. I heard you, but I want you to, for God's sake, know that there was no cross at Christmas. First Christmas, there wasn't no cross. Am I telling the truth? There was a baby at Christmas.
I want you to know that the salvation is not on the wood, it's on the child. I want you to get this, that there are two great symbols of the Christian faith, is the cross and the candle. And the candle is about light. And the cross is about death. And it's about resurrection. So I heard you. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. I'm not trying to take the cross out of Christmas. I'm not trying to take the cross out of church. Don't worry. Don't have no sleepless nights over it. I got it. And young people, but we ought to be thankful for our seniors. How many of you know there's so many things going on in church and don't nobody say nothing? Somebody ought to be saying, thank God for somebody that will say something. Somebody. You know there are some churches where there are no crosses, right? You know there are some churches where they don't have no communion table. You do know that, right? I mean, I hear tell that there's some churches where they don't have communion. You do know that, don't you? The last thing you want to be is a part of a church where the pastor or the deacons or anybody can get up and do any old thing and you don't say one single solitary mumbling word. Thank you for loving me enough to roll with me, for challenging me enough to make me think, and for praying for me enough to come to my senses without killing me. Deacon Matthew's gone on now. He said he would be in a deacon meeting. He'd be saying something, and you know, and I said, yeah, that he'd be going on and on. I said, I hear you, I hear you. He said, I know you hear me, but are you listening? I heard you, and I'm listening. I saw something, you know, you said, well, I want to see what you're going to do next Christmas. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have it up. You know, because, you know, there is something that says, you know that. That baptism is a part of the light too. You do know that the tree is a part of the cross too. I saw a beautiful picture today. I saw a beautiful picture. Somebody sent me on email of a Christmas tree. I don't know where it was in the sanctuary. I don't know if it was in the center. I don't know if it was on the side. But they sent a Christmas tree. I thought it was beautiful. On the Christmas tree, they had made crosses. Maybe the Sunday school made crosses, put it on the Christmas tree. I thought that's a nice idea, don't you? Then somebody, they had on the Christmas tree, they had a communion cup on the Christmas tree. And then they had a star on the Christmas tree. They had Christian symbols on the Christmas tree. I kind of like that. I don't know what we're going to do next year. But it spoke to me. And you know, the other thing too is, you know, sometimes we just get so ingrained in our own position that we just act crazy. In Jesus' name. I just think that's terrible. It's Christmas. Lighten up, for God's sake. Amen.